This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And a very good Sunday morning to you. Wow, what a night last night. There was a lot going on, and a lot had to do with weather. So let's start off by checking in with TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson. And boy, that was quite a storm that came through.
Yeah, a whole line of storms, Libby, and it was a really busy evening, especially for folks west of Milwaukee, because we actually likely had multiple tornadoes with this line as well. So some folks are cleaning up damage this morning. We do have about 7,500 people, give or take, without power right now in Walworth County. But yeah, probably one of the biggest music nights in the entire area. And unfortunately, Mother Nature decided to meddle with our plans.
Well, yeah, because you had the act going on at Alpine Valley, and because I know around that Lake Geneva area, it was pretty heavy rain. Any indication of what went on around that particular festival?
Yeah, so in and around Lake Geneva, we believe there may have been some rotation and some debris that was picked up on radar. We do know that three National Weather Service survey teams are being deployed across southern Wisconsin today. One is actually going to be in Williams Bay, and they will be looking at damage in and around Walworth County. And then another is going to be headed into Dane and Jefferson counties. They'll be looking at damage south of Waterloo over into Watertown. And then a third team is going to be in Rock County and Janesville, and then they're going to head west into Greene and Lafayette counties, where there was also some damage. So it's going to be a busy day as folks are picking up the pieces, but we're also documenting exactly what happened.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Brendan, but isn't the average tornado count around Wisconsin around 23? And we've already here in mid-June exceeded that?
Yes, so 23 on average for the entire year. And before today, there were 26 tornadoes already. So we were already above average, and we are likely going to see more from this particular event.
Okay, now, after we get the reports from what happened yesterday, you've got your eye on what might happen on Tuesday.
Yeah, so that's our next best chance of showers and storms today, tomorrow. You know, great days. We'll get some sunshine in here later. Upper 70s, a little bit cooler, still a little bit humid. But yes, Tuesday, what looks to be another active day for us across southern Wisconsin. It looks like, at least at this point, and again, this certainly can change. We're still a couple days out. But a strong low-level jet gets up and running late Monday night into early Tuesday. We could have a complex of showers and storms race from north to south through the state. So we could be waking up first thing Tuesday to some really noisy showers and storms, and also some very gusty winds. We're going to keep a close eye on that. Those are systems that are notorious to change. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't, and then that could influence what happens in the afternoon as a cold front makes its way through, showers and storms along that. At this point, with it getting into the upper 80s to around 90 degrees, hail, high winds going to be my biggest concern, but you know, keep an eye on that forecast on Tuesday. That'll be the next best chance for storms.
But today and tomorrow are going to be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, temperatures this morning starting off near 70. Yes, it's cloudy out right now. A couple of very light sprinkles are rolling through the area right now. But by this afternoon, I expect at least some filtered sunshine. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. So it's cooler. Still dew points around 60, so still a little bit on the humid side. And then we'll look for that storm chance on Tuesday.
Well, enjoy today and tomorrow. And I know you'll have your eye out on what's going to happen on Tuesday at TMJ4. Brendan, as always, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Libby. Good to talk to you. Take care.
Have a great day. It's 8:12 on WTMJ. We've got a very busy show ahead. Summerfest last night. Yeah, if you were out there, it did rain. But there was a celebrity, not just on stage, but somebody else who was there watching one of the performers. And Matt Miller's going to be with us a little bit later on to talk about that. Also, as you're looking for things to do around summer, especially if you've got somebody in your family who is a young adult with special needs, well, there is a special program going on through the JCC Rainbow Day Camp that we're going to tell you all about. And it's a good one, so you'll want to hear about that. Also, as Brendan was just saying, it's weather's getting pretty nice. But, you know, we've got the 4th of July coming up in less than, 10 days? And between the heat that we've been having and the upcoming fireworks, we have some tips for you for your pets during these summer months, and especially with the 4th of July. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, is going to be here. She says some small businesses are getting phone calls from somebody claiming to be from the Public Service Commission. And that might not be the case. Also, Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal is going to talk about how unpleasant things have been happening between the communities of Mount Pleasant and Racine. Also, we're going to look back at the week in review. Isaac's here pushing buttons. Jack's in the newsroom. And also, in just 2 minutes, it will be Jack Grau in sports right here on WTMJ. It's 71 degrees at 8:14 on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. It's been a tough series in San Diego for the Brewers, taking their third loss last night. Final score, 6-4. But a silver lining. Jackson Merrill hit a three-run homer, stretching 440 feet. The Brewers still hold a commanding lead in the NL Central with a 44-33 record. Game 4 of the series will be today at 3:10. No contract yet for Packers QB Jordan Love. On Wisconsin's Morning News, former Packer Mark Tauscher predicted his agents will pursue a deal similar to the one between Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. 5 years, $275 million. Training camp for the Packers will begin on Monday, July 22nd. New faces for Marquette's men's basketball. The team announcing C.J. Rivers will become an assistant coach and Bo Ziegler as program assistant. Rivers served as an assistant coach at Colorado State. Last season, Colorado had a 25-11 season and went to the NCAA tournament. And three-star edge rusher Nicholas Clayton committing to the University of Wisconsin Saturday. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Well, we've got Teddy Nykel just around the corner. Ooh, things are not pleasant around Mount Pleasant and Racine. We'll find out about that and so much more. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 67 degrees at 8:17. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is 8:18. It's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And Teddy, it is now, what, only about 3 weeks away? The RNC and national media, they've been scouting. They're announcing their locations where they're going to be doing their broadcasts. And what have we learned?
Yeah, it's crazy how fast it's coming up. And yeah, every day it seems like we're getting more details on specifics. So Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart will be broadcasting from the Marcus Center. And their show will be on July 18th, which is the last night of the convention. And then Fox News Network will be broadcasting from Gather, which is the space above Good City Brewing in the Deer District near Pfizer Forum. And they are going to create a set at that location, and they'll be hosting multiple shows during the convention. So those are kind of the latest media announcements we received this week.
And The Daily Show, I guess it's all four shows that week are going to be broadcasting, but Jon Stewart will be doing a live show on that Thursday, and people
yes.
can get tickets for these.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. Apparently anyone can attend if they're interested, so that's a really cool opportunity.
Well, speaking of TV, Top Chef had its finale on Wednesday night, and they named a winner. It was not Dan Jacobs, but still, this show has meant a lot to the area.
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously been covering this all season because this season has been highlighting not only local chefs, but also local locations and, you know, Wisconsin food traditions and things like that. So Dan Jacobs has been in the running all season. He's the co-owner of Dan Dan Restaurant in the Third Ward. He did not win, but he did finish in the top three. So I think we're happy with that. He was a runner-up. The winner of this season was Danny Garcia from New York. But I didn't realize, apparently, Dan Jacobs has auditioned for the show 11 times. And so it's exciting for him that he finally, you know, obviously was able to be on the show and did so well, making it to the top three.
I couldn't believe it when he said that he had auditioned 11 times.
Right. I mean, this is the 21st season, so he's auditioned for half the seasons, basically.
Talk about a dream come true. But the good news is this has really put a spotlight on the restaurant scene in the city.
Absolutely. And for him personally, you know, he has a rare progressive disease, neuromuscular, that he was able to kind of shine a light on as well and kind of highlight being successful even when you're differently abled. So just a great story all around.
Oh, I think we'll be hearing a lot more from and about Dan Jacobs. All right, let's turn our attention to Racine and Mount Pleasant, where they've got kind of a brouhaha going on, and it relates to Foxconn and Microsoft. What's all this about?
Okay, so this is a really interesting situation. So the city of Racine supplies water to the village of Mount Pleasant. It has for 20 years, but with the Foxconn situation several years ago, they had agreed to extend water to the Foxconn site as well. Now that, obviously, as we've been talking about, Foxconn has scaled back its plans and Microsoft in its place is developing a large data center there. But now Racine is saying we actually need to renegotiate this water agreement because we're not getting the economic benefits we thought we would with all of the jobs that Foxconn had promised. You know, there's not as many jobs with Microsoft, but Mount Pleasant is saying that Racine is withholding water service and not doing its side of the deal, not approving agreements to extend water to what is now the Microsoft site. So they've been in this dispute. They both have their sides and, you know, a little bit locked in on moving forward. But as of this week, we're having a private meeting to kind of start discussing some of these issues. So it'll definitely be an ongoing story. I think it's kind of early in the resolution process, but we will definitely be following to see what continues to shake out there. Obviously, it's a very key site for the region, and you need water for a data center.
It almost sounds like a scene out of a movie where one community is withholding water from another to get
right.
their way.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, we don't get too much into the politics here at the Business Journal, but I think there is some political factors as well. You know, for example, the village president is running for state office. So I think there's a lot of dynamics with this one that are very interesting.
I think you might be onto something there. All right, let's talk about the dynamics of Southridge Mall. They've been talking about redevelopment for a while, but they've just introduced a new concept.
Yeah, so the developer that is slated to redevelop, this is a former Boston store at Southridge Mall in Greendale. And the developer that did the couture downtown is developing this. So Barrett Lowe Visionary Development. They, in 2021, released a plan that was going to have up to almost 800 apartments and 50,000 square feet of retail. But there's been, you know, numerous disputes related to other owners of different portions of the mall that has kind of held up this process. So now, 3 years later, they released a new plan that is a bit smaller. So it's 675 apartments. So still a lot, but not that 800 that we were previously looking at. And then 20,000 square feet of retail, so about half the retail space. They said the changes are related to kind of addressing some of the concerns of the other mall tenants. So I think it's kind of related to resolving the dispute that has held up this development. But it's still an early concept. The village does still need to approve the plan before they can move forward. So we'll see if this is the plan that ends up moving forward and coming to fruition on that former Boston store site.
Finally, Teddy, the last location of a popular area restaurant has closed. Who are we talking about?
We were talking about Flannery's. So many people might know it from the downtown Milwaukee location, which is near Cathedral Square. That closed last year, but the restaurant was still operating in Grafton at the Fire Ridge Golf Club. But as of this week, there's new ownership at the golf club, and they are no longer having Flannery's operate there. So they're going to operate their own restaurant out of the golf club site in Flannery's. By all accounts, it seems like they've fully closed now with that last location now closed. So we are waiting to see. Their former building in downtown Milwaukee is still vacant, but it's planned to be a new restaurant called People's Park, which also has a location in Waukesha. So that's what is set to replace the downtown Milwaukee Flannery.
Well, as always, I know you are keeping your ear to the ground to hear what's going next at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Teddy Nichol, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Libby.
We had TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson on about 10 minutes ago, and he talked about some of the damage that was west of Milwaukee, and they're checking on that to see if there were any tornado touchdowns. But the good news is it's going to be nicer today than it was yesterday. We've got clouds right now, but by this afternoon, it's going to clear up. We're actually going to have some sunshine. It's going to be breezy and cooler with a high of 78. Then tonight, partly cloudy, down to about 62. Tomorrow looks sunny and warm. warm and 78 again for a high. Then, as Brendan said, we've got our eye on Tuesday, because if there's going to be another storm, it's going to be that day. It's going to start out kind of hot and humid with a chance of some thunderstorms and a high of 87. Then Wednesday gets nice again, 80 for a high under sunny skies. And Thursday, absolutely sensational, sunny and 73. Currently in Mequon, we've got 66 degrees. Racine's at 67. Oconomowoc has 65. It's 67 degrees at WTMJ at 8:26. Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. I'm told this is Hippocampus, right?
It sure is.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. I kind of like it. It's got a nice beat. You can probably dance to it. All right. Speaking of things going on around Milwaukee, well, the former president took over Racine this week. There was a tropical storm that hit the Gulf Coast, and there was a violent stretch on Milwaukee roads. There was much more, too. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Governor Tony Evers has filed a request for services to conduct an independent operational audit of Milwaukee public schools.
I've heard from educational institutions that want to do good things, saying we just can't get access to talking to the right people at MPS.
We do hope that Milwaukee gets things figured out.
We have with us in the studio the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He is Cavalier Johnson. Senator Ron Johnson is urging you to get involved and tell the protesters stay away from FISA reform, or at least use your voice to try to keep them in line. Will you become involved?
I've been involved. That's how the convention is here in the first place. I've kind of joked that the demonstrators want to be on the stage in FISA reform, and the RNC wants them to be on the moon.
The 45-mile-an-hour winds of tropical storm Alberto are whipping up high waves in the Gulf of Mexico. But it's the flooding potential that has homeowners worried from South Padre Island to Galveston.
Hello, Wisconsin. Hello. They say, oh, he doesn't like Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I said, you got to fix the crime. We all know that. You got to make sure the election's honest. But I'm the one that picked Milwaukee.
The law detective determined that was a lie.
You do not mess with Milwaukee.
There's a report out of Chicago that says you may be overnighting in Chicago instead of Milwaukee. Is that the plan?
Well, they have probably, they think, because they have a hotel there, have a beautiful hotel there, beauty, as good as it gets. But I'm staying here. I was always planning on staying here. Nice job with the air conditioning. The heat.
It's going to be a hot one today.
Tonight, very muggy. Tomorrow, I still think we have highs in the lower 90s.
We would say avoid like the hottest times of the day.
Be sure you're staying hydrated. Alcohol is not good hydration.
Send the kids to the neighbors. I'm coming back loaded.
It's just going to be about the heat.
Investigation continuing following 16 fires in Milwaukee all Tuesday morning. Most of them started in garbage carts.
That should be attempted homicide.
Fly ball, right center. Back Freelich on the warning track, leaping, and he caught it! It's over!
Not in my heart.
Danny, you are top chef.
A little disheartened. I mean, it looked like Dan really had it. Watching that episode, it seemed like all the stars were aligning for him.
I'm disappointed because I thought that they had little criticism for Dan from Dan Dan. And they had a lot of criticism for the other chefs.
Don't let yourself go.
It was heartbreaking.
Dr. Joe Gao lost his job as chancellor for posting pornographic videos of he and his wife online.
A lucky guy, that's all I'll say.
Right?
Now he's hoping he can convince a committee to allow him to continue to teach.
It's protected by the universities of Wisconsin's commitment to academic freedom and freedom of expression.
You don't want to be known as porn you.
Milwaukee coming together to celebrate Juneteenth on the city's north side.
I grew up on 15th and Capitol. It's great to come back home and be part of this.
I would say that it's unfortunate, but unfortunate isn't the right word.
It's infuriating.
Sheriff's Deputy Dan Hughes says a crowd of about 50 youth were gathered for a large fight after the This for the City event when a suspect, a 17-year-old from Milwaukee, fired into the crowd, killing another 17-year-old.
Folks already gathering right now outside the Church of the Jesu to say goodbye to the late leader of Marquette University.
The hearse holding the body of late Marquette President Mike Lovell arriving in Milwaukee around 8 a.m. Thursday morning.
He always said he was not afraid to die because of his faith.
On behalf of our family, I want to thank you all for coming here today to celebrate Mike.
Summerfest is finally here.
Thank God.
And we're broadcasting live from the Fellow Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studio.
Happy first day of Summerfest. It just gets me excited. How about you, Amy?
Oh, it's so awesome to be down here at the lake, and it's actually, the weather is much better.
A developing story, I-43 is closed in both directions from Locust to Capitol after an officer-involved pursuit and shooting.
Recklessness on the roads, a pregnant woman lost her unborn child, a teenager shot by police.
We are in law enforcement. We enforce the law. Policing the community is all of our responsibility.
What a week.
Suck it, Sheboygan.
Warn you.
This song makes me feel good.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
And The Weeknd Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 839, 68 degrees at WTMJ. If you're a small business and you're getting phone calls from somebody saying they're from the Public Service Commission, hang up. We'll tell you why right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is receiving reports of small businesses and property owners getting a call that appear to be from them. And joining us to set the record straight is Michelle Reinen from DATCAP. She is our consumer protection contact. And Michelle, tell us about this. What is happening?
Well, the Public Service Commission has received reports from small business owners and from consumers alike indicating that they were set to be disconnected from their utilities. The scammer was demanding payment over the phone and asked for personal financial information as well. Now, when these individuals answered the phone, their caller ID represented that it was the Public Service Commission calling using the PSC's phone number on that caller ID. So the scammer was really trying to make this look incredibly legitimate by spoofing that caller ID.
So what should we do if we think that we're getting spoofed?
Well, like any utility scam where you think it's your local utility or Public Service Commission or even some other government entity, do not trust that caller ID because it can be spoofed. And in addition, don't respond to an unsolicited phone call where money or personal information is being demanded of you, especially if they're representing that they're a government entity and know who they're contacting. Then they have that information. They shouldn't have to ask you to verify it or provide it by phone when they are calling you out of the blue. So please hang up on these calls and report them to Consumer Protection.
And let's give that Consumer Protection hotline.
1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:44 and we've got some clouds this morning, but by this afternoon we're going to have some sunshine. It's going to be breezy and cooler with a high of 78. Yep. 71's our temperature at WTMJ right now. And coming up in just a minute, we've got Jack Ground Sports right here on WTMJ.
We're so young, boy. We ain't got nothing to lose.
8:49, I think that's SZA. Yeah, it is Isaac. Okay, well, there's only one person we can talk to who knows about that. It's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with media critic and pop culture editor from onmilwaukee.com, Matt Miller. Matt, SZA was the big act at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater last night, and I know a lot of people showed up to see her, especially a name that we all know, not necessarily love.
Yeah, a surprise sighting from Kim Kardashian in the crowd. Kim Kardashian and Northwest, midway through the show, turns out they were there. They like made their way through the crowd, had a seat at the table, the kind of deck. Yeah, and I think everyone was really thrown off. This wasn't really something you expected that night, especially considering the weather. But yeah, she was there.
Now, she showed up halfway through the show? She didn't even come at the beginning?
Well, I think she came for SZA. I don't think she was there for the opener and stuff like that.
Well,
yeah.
Of course, yeah. When you're Kim Kardashian, you only come for the headliner.
Yeah, and I think she was probably backstage. I imagine she was probably backstage with SZA, probably hanging out before. Like, that's just, you know, me guessing. But I imagine she was probably, you know, hanging out there. But yeah, just a really big surprise because, you know, Summerfest, great festival, we all love it. But, you know, Kim Kardashian, that's like a Coachella get. That's a, well, you know, that's...
and that's interesting. And that's what I wanted to ask you about, because the fact that Kim Kardashian showed up, lover or hater, I mean, she was there and obviously a lot of people are talking about it. But does this put Summerfest now on a little closer on a level to like a Coachella or a South by Southwest if people like Kim Kardashian are showing up for some of these acts?
I don't think it's ever a bad thing when an extremely famous person is showing up in your crowd. I think it still definitely depends on the acts and the nights and stuff like that. I think it would have to be a more regular occurrence for it to become like a Coachella situation where half of going to Coachella is the star sightings and half of Coachella is the influencer Instagrammy moments. But honestly, I don't think Wisconsin wants a festival like that. You know, I think similar to the way that the Milwaukee Film Festival is a festival for Milwaukee to bring films we otherwise wouldn't have here, Summerfest is a festival for Wisconsin in a lot of cases. It is a festival about bringing a variety of music to Milwaukee. And it's just, you know, it's cool that for this one night, Kim Kardashian and Northwest Company were there at the show. And, you know, this was the biggest get of Summerfest. SZA, great act, recently just a big profile at the Grammys, multiple nominations. She's definitely a star massively on the rise. And to have this get feted by Kim Kardashian, one of the biggest names in pop culture, is a great thing to see happen at Summerfest.
Another big celebrity sighting at Summerfest is Dan Jacobs from Top Chef was actually working the Dan booth.
And I'm sure he is hot and everyone coming up to him saying, great job. And also, how did you lose? No one understands how Dan Jacobs lost, or more accurately, no one really understands why Danny won. Even several days later, rewatching that episode, the finale, I still don't entirely understand what Dan did to not win. It's very strange. It feels like the show kind of leaned on the cliches of what people think high cuisine is, as opposed to what was actually the best food of the night. I think that's a little frustrating if you're a fan of the show, and especially if you're a fan of Dan Jacobs. It felt like the judges chose their favorite concept rather than their favorite cooking.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because all through the season they were saying, well, we're just judging you on the food you're making right now. And then all of a sudden for the finale, it wasn't quite what they said it was all during the whole season.
Yeah, it was an editing problem on the show's part.
Oh,
it felt
be.
Like that. You know, there was probably a way to edit it to make it seem like the two were more evenly matched, but there was really only the one tuna comment about Dan's dishes, while Danny's dishes, you know, there was some undercooked lobster, and there was some dishes that could use a little bit more seasoning, and one dish that the judges didn't even know how to eat, which, I don't know, knowing how to eat a dish feels like a requisite if you're going to make a dish. So it's just kind of strange that, you know, it seemed like Danny did not cook the better meal, but you could hear them trying to talk themselves into each of Danny's dishes. You could hear the judges being like, oh, he's doing such interesting things here. Well, that's really nice, but if the dish is flawed, then what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was that sea air got to all of them. I'm not sure. But the good news is, I mean, Dan Jacobs has brought so many eyes to the restaurant scene around Milwaukee.
Absolutely, and I would be shocked if this was the last time you see Dan Jacobs on a Top Chef season. They do all-star seasons where they bring in favorites from past seasons. And Dan was one of the biggest and most beloved personalities this season, not just in Wisconsin, but across the nation, too. For a season that was pretty light on drama and personality, he popped. He was a character that people remember. Then you add in the fact that I think for a lot of people, he got robbed at the end I think if they want him back for an All-Star season, I think they would love to have him back. The question is, with his health, with all the things he's got going on here in Milwaukee, would he say yes to that? I think Top Chef would love it if he did for one of those future All-Star seasons.
Did I miss it? Because I know he and Michelle were in the running for the favorite that was going to get $10,000. Did they announce that?
I don't remember them doing that during the show. That might have been something they did on Peacock, maybe on the Kish show or something like that, the Dish with Kish. But yeah, I know he was a finalist with Michelle, and I wonder if that's where they tossed him a win. You know, not that he wouldn't have earned it in the first place, but I wonder if they were like, okay, he didn't win the actual show proper, but hopefully you won the fan favorite.
Yeah, I've got to check that out because I thought, did I, you know, was I sleeping? Did I fall asleep there at one point and miss that part? But I'm glad to know I wasn't the only one who didn't see it. You mentioned a little bit earlier the film festival, the Milwaukee Film Festival. And there was a movie that I remember you talked to us about at the time. You were kind of excited about, and it's now hit theaters. And it really is an interesting film.
Yeah, it's delightful. And in a just world, it would become a little summer hit. It's called Thelma, and it is a movie about 93-year-old woman who gets phone hacked or phone scammed, which doesn't exactly sound charming.
There's nothing funny about that, but what happens afterwards
hilarious.
Is funny.
Yeah. Phone scamming, hilarious. But then she goes on the road on her hover-round scooter to go get her money back from the people who phone scammed her, and it's super charming, super, like, I think there's you expect it to be a little bit more sticky. It's a Sundance movie. You kind of think it might be a little too twee or too whimsical, but it kind of has this perfect balance of laughs and sincere emotion and genuine tension in terms of, you know, you're really rooting for her to, you know, get this money back. It's a really charming movie, and I really hope people seek it out. You know, they talk about, oh, they don't make movies for older audiences anymore. They don't make movies for adults anymore. Well, here's one, and I think if you're looking for, amongst all the action sequels and blockbusters out there right now, if you're looking for something a little bit smaller for all ages, I think Thelma's a real winner.
It's a vendetta film on a scooter.
Yeah, it's like The Beekeeper, but with significantly fewer headshots and blood splatters.
One last thing real quick. The Daily Show is going to be broadcasting live here in Milwaukee during the RNC.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, I imagine, that weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if some people maybe want to get out of town and go on vacation maybe somewhere that weekend, just because between all the news stations coming in and the entertainment shows and obviously the RNC itself at the middle, you know, might be a good time to explore elsewhere.
And the fact that you can get thousands of dollars for your home if you put it on Vrbo.
Yeah, exactly. There's money to be made, too.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much. And, of course, you can follow everything Matt has to say in onmilwaukee.com. He's always reviewing everything going on around the area. Thank you, Matt, for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:59, coming up after the news. Oh, it's that time of the year. Our poor puppies. Mine last night was a little shaken by the thunder he was hearing. But, yep, you know, it's only about 10 days away. You know what's going to happen. We got a warning for you about it and what to do. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I've got Jack Grau here. Jack, I don't know if you heard me talking to Matt Miller before the news, and we were talking about Top Chef and how our own Dan Jacobs didn't make it. We wondered about the fan favorite, which he and Michelle were up for that with a $10,000 award. He didn't get that either. Michelle won it. Mm. One of our fans on the talk and text line just let us know. Oh, poor guy. I mean, well, hopefully his booth is doing well at Summerfest.
Oh, I think so. You know, just that cultural following that's built over the past weeks and months, it's got to be a big deal to be out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll help the restaurant.
Of course.
Not that the restaurant wasn't doing well before, but it should help it even more. All right. You know, this is this time of the year. I don't know about you, but I've got a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
I have a cat at home. I've had dogs with my parents all my life. Big animal person
over
here.
Yeah, well, my dog last night didn't like that thunder.
Yeah,
he was very close to me, and he's usually pretty good. I mean, he's not one of those skittish animals. He pretty much will sit back and go, yeah, okay. I mean, sometimes when it thunders, he'll just bark because it's mad because it woke him up.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what was that? But yeah, last night he was kind of bothered. And so I'm sitting there thinking, oh boy, you know, it's coming up. It's 4th of July.
Stressful time. Really stressful time.
The worst time of the year.
Yeah.
For pets. And that's on the heels of all this hot weather we've been having. So, I talked to somebody about all that. We're getting close to that holiday where there's going to be a lot of fireworks. Joining us is Angela Speed with the Wisconsin Humane Society with some safety tips for us. First of all, we just came out of a really horrible, hot couple of days. Our pets aren't used to that in this climate, are they?
Dogs in particular, they don't regulate their body temperatures the same way people do. They don't sweat. They pant to cool themselves. And when we have hot stretches like we just came out of, even at the Humane Society, we're adjusting our dog walking protocols to make sure everybody is safe. When you're walking your dog, you want to test the pavement with your palm. If it's too hot for your hand, it's too hot for their sensitive paw pads. And it's especially true of like black asphalt. Sidewalks can be cooler. But that's just one of the tips that we provide to people who are out dog walking. Of course, taking walks in the early morning or after sunset when it's cooler, shortening those walks, just doing potty breaks when it's truly tropical outside. But probably your number one thing that you don't want to do is never leave your dog in a hot car. Even when the temperatures are in the 80s, the inside of a vehicle can reach 160 plus in just a few minutes, even with the windows cracked. And unfortunately, we do see incidences of heat stroke every year because dogs are left in cars.
How do you know if your pet, especially your dog, is really suffering?
So the signs of heat stroke, true heat stroke, include things like excessive panting, difficulty breathing. They might vomit or have diarrhea. They might be a little confused. They'll have a rapid pulse often. And if you check their gums, often they'll be bright red, or their lips may look a little bit bluish. And if you see any of those signs, you want to get them to a cool place. Don't apply ice, but cool towels, and contact your veterinarian immediately.
Here we are, just a week away from 4th of July, which is, I think, a dog's least favorite holiday.
What
do we need to know to make sure they're not going to be too anxious?
First of all, I don't know of many dogs that actually enjoy them. So if you're going to the fireworks and you want to leave your pets at home where they are most comfortable and cool and relaxed. For dogs who are super sensitive to the booms of the firework, a lot of people try anxiety-reducing medication, thunder shirts, white noise in the background, turning the TV up, making sure all the windows are closed. If your dog is seriously reactive and anxious during the fireworks, you might want to talk to your veterinarian soon about medical options so that they can bear those fireworks comfortably during the 4th of July festivities.
And I know every year around that time, you end up with strays because they bolted away from people because they heard fireworks and were afraid.
Yeah, absolutely. Dogs often bolt, whether that's during thunderstorms or 4th of July celebrations. So you want to make sure that your ID tags are up to date. Have your current information just in case your dog gets loose. And of course, if your pets aren't already microchipped, that is a great option as well. The microchip is about the size of a grain of rice inserted between their shoulder blades, and every single animal control facility pretty much in the country, the first thing they do when a stray animal comes in is they scan for a microchip, and those reunions can happen so much faster because of microchips.
Angela, I know that you have a lot of pets for adoption right now. Sadly, a lot of people have had to give their pets up for a number of different reasons. How many dogs do you have at Wisconsin Humane right now?
So at the Wisconsin Humane Society, this morning I looked and we had 96 dogs looking for new homes. It has been a really tough year across the country and in Wisconsin. If you've been on the fence about adopting a puppy or a dog, this is your sign. Look at your local shelters, your rescue groups, the Wisconsin Humane Society. We're just seeing a surge of dogs coming in as strays and surrenders, mostly due to economic conditions to systemic issues in our community. People are really struggling to find affordable housing, let alone affordable housing that allows big dogs. And there's also a lack of access to veterinary care. There's a huge veterinary shortage right now in the U.S. So there's a lot of forces that are impacting animal population, but we have some of the most fantastic dogs available for adoption. And we actually have a promotion right now, 50% off all dog and puppy adoption fees at the Wisconsin Humane Society.
Ooh, where can we learn more?
Yeah, you can go to wihumane.org/adopt and look at all the wonderful faces. And of course, we have a ton of cats and kittens available for adoption too, and other animals as well.
Angela Speed from the Wisconsin Humane Society, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
As far as I'm concerned, it's always a good time to adopt a dog, but an even better time when it's half off for the Wisconsin Humane Society. That's great news from Angela. All right, coming up to 9:15, and in just 2 minutes, it's Jack Garwin Sports right here on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All Sports Desk. Been a tough series in San Diego for the Brewers, taking their third loss last night. Final score 6-4. The Padres' Jackson Merrill hit a three-run homer, stretching 440 feet. Had him in as a Brewer earlier. Apologies, folks. An impressive performance from Milwaukee's Bryce Terang, hitting a grand slam. The Brewers still holding a commanding lead in the NL Central with a 44-33 record. No contract yet for Packers QB Jordan Love. On Wisconsin's Morning News, former Packer Mark Tauscher predicted Love's agents will pursue a deal similar to the one between Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. 5 years, $275 million. Training camp for the Packers will begin on Monday, July 22nd. New faces for Marquette's men's basketball team. The team announcing C.J. Rivers will become an assistant coach and Bo Ziegler as program assistant. Rivers served as an assistant coach at Colorado State, which had a 25-11 season last year and went to the NCAA tournament. And three-star edge rusher Nicholas Clayton committing to the University of Wisconsin Saturday. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Did you say Jordan Love doesn't have a contract right now?
So last year he operated on a contract extension. They're trying to get him a new one to make sure he stays there long term. But both sides have said, you know, they're optimistic and they're going to get a contract.
$275 million for 5 years.
That's what Trevor Lawrence got in Jacksonville. And let me also add, he has one playoff win. I'm just going to say that.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. What would you do $275 million, Libby?
I wouldn't be here. buy a radio station. All right. Thanks a lot, Jack. He'll be back again at 9:30 with the headlines. Let's see. 9:19. That's our time. Weather-wise, it's going to be pretty nice today. We're looking at sunshine as the day goes on. We're going to get up to 78 degrees. I'll have your full 5-day forecast right after this on WTMJ. It's a little bit cloudy early on, but by this afternoon, we're going to all have some sunshine. 78 for a high. Partly cloudy tonight, down to 62. Looks like tomorrow we've got sunny skies. It's going to be warmer, 78 degrees. Tuesday, that's the day that TMJ4 meteorologist said keep an eye out because it's going to start out cloudy, hot, and humid with the sun, with a chance of some thunderstorms. They might be heavy, so watch out. 87 for a high on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we've got sunny skies and 80 and beautiful on Thursday, sunny and 73. Currently, Elkhart Lake, you've got 63 degrees. Muskego, a little bit of rain right now, 68. Lake Geneva, where they had some storm damage, especially around Williams Bay last night, 69 degrees. And in Milwaukee right now, we have 72 at 922 on WTMJ.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I'm Vince Vitrano, and this is the Sunday Sip. We're talking home improvement today, and I have with me our great partners from 2-Day Painting. Garrett Martell is the owner of the company. Great to see you, Garrett.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Let's first talk about this is the season for exterior paint. I'll start there, and then I'll back up and tell my story, because I had you folks out to do some wonderful work inside my house. But what are we looking for on the exterior of the home right now that tells you it might be a good idea to get you folks out there?
Well, the top things to look for are peeling paint, failed or cracking caulk, and rotting wood. if you fail to address these things and it continues to get worse, it could be a more expensive problem. Water could get into the home, cause more damage. So we always highly recommend once you start seeing that, that you get looked at.
And this is the busy season. You got room for some more people?
We do, yep. Yeah, we definitely got room. But yeah, this is the next 6 months is where we shine.
I'm going to bring folks inside because I did something that I have never done before. And I paid someone else to paint the interior of my house. And I think a lot of people are probably like me, Garrett, because you can paint. I mean, I can paint. I kind of actually enjoy it. The work that I had two-day painting due at my house is extraordinary. I just told you, we had folks over the other day. They couldn't stop talking about it. It looks like adults live at my house. The difference between a professional job and what I've been able to do is really remarkable.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
So tell me why there's that difference. I mean, what do you all do? What kind of people do the work for two-day painting that makes that difference?
Well, we have experienced craftspeople. They're trained to do straight lines, protect everything really well, do the right kind of prep, the right kind of finish, where you're not going to see brush strokes and lines. And
can confirm. So the woodwork your crew did. We had the crown moldings done and other things. There's another area where there's just no way when I look at what they were able to do.
Yeah, it takes a lot of skill, especially on the woodwork on the inside of a home, to do it right and make it look really good.
The other thing I enjoyed about two-day painting on our project was I needed some light carpentry done. We had some ceiling damage in one spot. You know because the team came out and we talked about a vision for our living space. We had this little half wall that separated the kitchen from the dining room. My wife desperately wanted that gone. Bothered her from the day we moved in. What I loved about two-day is we were able to work that whole project through you and through your team, as opposed to bringing in outside people before we painted.
Yeah, we're happy to offer carpentry, drywall repair, power washing, all the stuff that goes along with painting to make sure that you don't have to hire anyone else.
The other great thing is having you in our home. I remember you came over, Eric came over. We later met with our personal color consultant as well. But having the team from two-day to come out and help us, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Like, I don't know, is this possible? To be able to ask those questions and to have you, and for me and for my wife, it was super important to know that she was being listened to, that she was being heard, and then that you were going to help us work through, you know, what we were dreaming about.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We really do focus on the customer service and having a great customer experience. We think we have the best reputation of any painter within the area. And the main reasons why is we offer a lot of things that a lot of painters don't. So from the very beginning, our project consultants are highly skilled to, you know, recommend the best solutions, the right products for your situation, the right preps so that it lasts as long as possible and looks as good. Our color consultants are very skilled to help you find the right vision for your home. We have active project management, and they check in on the project very frequently, inspect, make sure that everything is going well and address anything that's not. And at the end of the project, we even offer free touch-ups for life.
John was my personal project manager, and I recall him, you mentioned that, making some suggestions real time through the course of the project. Look, we found this. You had said you wanted it like this. Come back and look at that again. Let's see if maybe we might want to do it different, or we can do it how you had it. But like in real time, once the project got going, to be able to have John there and take us through that and make some of those changes was really important.
It makes all the difference in a project. Most painting companies don't have a highly trained active project manager, and projects don't go according to plan. Having someone on staff that is your advocate on the project, that is trained to make sure that the quality is there, that the customer service is there, that we're protecting everything that we need, that communicates throughout the job, and it makes all the difference in a smooth experience.
Take us through the name, two-day painting. I know not every job is 2 days, but you do throw everything you have at every job.
Yeah, we try our best. We never promise that any jobs are done in 2 days. We never rush a job or cut any corners so that they are done. But what we do is we cater the size of the crew and to the size of the job and work full continuous days until it's complete to make it as convenient as possible for you.
Talking with Garrett Martell. He is the owner of 2 Day Painting. You know, folks want to know they're doing business with good people. Garrett, I know there are a number of charitable efforts that you and that your company engage in that are important to you and to folks in the community.
Yeah, we really try to do a lot for charity and the community. This past winter, we repainted Hawes, the local Humane Society. We did a lot of work for them on painting and carpentry end. Built a lot of cat shelters and dog ramps and dog toys. And we also painted over 100 rooms within the community for people in need.
How can people find you?
Check us out on 2daypainting.com, Google us, or call us at 262-312-2182.
Okay, that's Garrett Martell from Two Day Painting. And should they tell him Vinny sent you?
Yes, they should.
Absolutely. I have more work for you. Oh, by the way, so once we get through the summer, you definitely will be back to do the rest of the house. Really appreciate you, Garrett.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Garrett Martell, owner of Two Day Painting. I'm Vince Vitrano, and this is the Sunday Sip.
Thanks a lot, Vince. It's 928 on WTMJ. And welcome back. I'm Libby Collins on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 936. You know, once I've left school, there are not many programs available for young adults with special needs. So it's great to know the JCC is stepping up to help. And joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Lenny Cass. He is the Executive Director of the Albert and Ann Desher JCC Rainbow Day Camp. And Lenny, tell us about the Boneem Farmers.
Well, it's a fun program we have out here at our day camp. We have a big garden area, and what we've done is developed a program for young adults with special needs to be employed and give back. So what they do is they work in our garden. We've got a year-round greenhouse. We've got a big garden outside, and then they also get a chance to process some spices. But all of this is done and given to the Jewish Community Pantry or the Ozaki Family Sharing Pantry or Random Lake Pantry. So the goal of the program is to have employment for young adults with special needs and allow them to have an opportunity to give back.
What does the word Boneem mean in Hebrew?
It means builders. And what they are doing is building a community. They're trying to make southeastern Wisconsin a healthier place. We all love to give back. And there's not a lot of opportunities for some of our young adults with special needs to do that, and that is what Boneem Farms is all about.
All right, well, tell us what a typical day is like for a Boneem farmer.
Well, we've got two different segments of our program. There's the summer program, where they're part of our day camp. And when they're part of our day camp, they're working in the farm for part of the day, and they're also having an opportunity to play as campers. Then in the off season, which is September through May, they come in on either Sunday or Tuesday afternoons or Wednesday afternoons, and they come in and they're working on the farm. So if it's in September, they're putting the garden to bed, or they're harvesting some fall crops. They're taking and dehydrating things. They're processing spices. They're packaging spices. One of the things that we found in some of our pantries is that they don't have spices to give along with the food. So we buy the spices in bulk, package them up, and then send them down there. So they'll be spending part of the time doing that. Or we might be making cutting boards, another workforce skill. We actually take the young adults, glue the boards together, we run them through planers, they sand them, polish them up, and then they donate them to the food pantry.
Tell us about this one thing. This really caught my interest, Lenny, and that's a bicycle blender. Explain what that is.
Well, one of the things that we like to do at our camp is to teach all of our campers about soil to plate. And one of the things that we've come across is a blender that's attached to a bicycle. It's a stationary bike, and you put the stuff in, and the young adults will be pedaling away. And while that's going, it's making the blender go round and round, and it ends up with a nice little smoothie. So it's a great opportunity for kids to try things they never have an opportunity to try in a fun way.
How do the parents and the families from Boneem Farmers feel about this program?
I'll tell you, we get so many praises from our families because it's got so many components to it. It's employment for their young adults. It's socialization for them because they come, there's 16 of them, so they're working with other young adults, and then they're giving back. And then we provide transportation from the Milwaukee area because we're located up in Fredonia. So it's a win-win for everybody, and I'll tell you, that when their child comes home with a smile on their face and they say, well, what'd you do today? We were dehydrating apples, and they go to the Jewish Community Pantry and big smiles on their face.
One other thing is tell us about Fresh Market Wednesdays at the JCC in Whitefish Bay.
Well, once a week, what we will do is take the skills that you can learn by actually selling and take some of our farmers down there, and they set up in our lobby a fresh market so that our members can come and buy produce year-round. We're doing microgreens in January, and our young adults are learning how to do the money transactions. They're learning how to talk to customers. So it's all skill things that will work in additional jobs or they could just stay in our job. A number of ours is just part-time, so a number of them have part-time jobs in numerous places, Goodwill or some of our other local companies that hire. It's a neat thing for them.
Lenny, I know there are a lot of families out there that have young adults who do have disabilities. And is there a way that they can also benefit from this program? Tell us how they can get more information.
They can contact myself at the Milwaukee Jewish Community Center. The phone number there is 414-964-4444. Or they can email me at lcas@jccmilwaukee.org. The other thing that we're doing is we're working with area high schools and their transition programs. So those are the kids that have graduated from high school but stay for a couple of years. They're actually coming out as a group and helping out Bonium Farms. So if somebody has a young adult at a high school and they're not involved in us, have their high school give us a call. There might be some opportunities.
Lenny, not only are you doing good, but I know you also have a great time at the JCC Rainbow Day Camp. Lenny Cass, the executive director, thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a great day. Keep smiling.
It's a really good program, and Lenny's a great guy. It's 942 and 72 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up, what's going on conversations today? Ooh, you're going to like this. And you know the guy we're talking about. It's all ahead of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, I always love talking with our fellow teammates here at WTMJ. And before hosting the Upswing on WTMJ, entrepreneur Jeff Sherman built an extensive online following through onmilwaukee.com. He told me how things didn't always go as planned.
Early on, we did April Fool's edition. So we did an April Fool's story on the Betty Brin Children's Museum. And it came out saying that the Betty Brin Children's Museum was going to launch a Betty Bar. And we photoshopped a bunch of parents drinking and doing shots and the kids crying and running around. And it somehow went out in the National Children's Museum email list. So all of these national leaders got it and they thought it was real. So I got a really mean call from the board president, like just reaming me out. And I'm like, okay, I'm really sorry. And then I hung up the phone and the marketing director called me after that and said, Jeff, I'm really sorry that had to happen. You know, the board's really upset. But at the same time, we got a ton of coverage out of that. And a lot of people are mentioning our name. Do you want to join the marketing committee?
I'm going to turn the tables on the Upswing's Jeff Sherman when he joins me this morning at 11 for a candid WTMJ conversation. And wait until you hear the link between Jeff's grandfather's farm and Buddy Holly. Talk about that and so much more. It's all today at 11. 9:45 coming up in just a minute. We've got Jack Grau with sports right here on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Sports Desk. Been a tough series in San Diego for the Milwaukee Brewers, taking their third loss in a row last night. Final score, 6-4. The Padres' Jackson Merrill hit a three-run homer, stretching 440 feet. An impressive performance from Milwaukee's Bryce Tarang, though, hitting a grand slam. The Brewers still hold a commanding lead in the NL Central with a 44-23 record. They'll try to prevent a sweep today with first pitch at 3:10. No contract yet for Packers QB Jordan Love. On Wisconsin's Morning News, former Packer Mark Tauscher predicted his agents will pursue a deal similar to the one between Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. 5 years, $275 million. The Green Bay Packers training camp will begin Monday, July 22nd. New faces, former Marquette's men's basketball team, the team announcing C.J. Rivers will become an assistant coach and Bo Ziegler as program assistant. Rivers served as an assistant coach at Colorado State. Colorado had a 25-11 season and went to the NCAA tournament last year. And three-star edge rusher Nicholas Clayton committed to the University of Wisconsin Saturday. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Hey, Jack, do you ever go to farmers markets?
Oh, I do sometimes, you know, if my girlfriend and I have an available morning or there's a good one in my hometown. I like a good farmer's market if the weather's right.
Yeah, there's just something about it and getting all those fresh vegetables and being able to talk with the people who actually grow them.
Yeah.
Well, our own Jessica Gatso took a look at farmer's markets, and we're going to tell you about that in just a couple minutes. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Well, Jack and I were just saying farmers markets are a part of summer and fall throughout southeastern Wisconsin. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons, whether it's getting those fresh, healthy foods or whether you want to support local farmers and businesses. But maybe, like Jack, you just like the ambiance and experience. What about a new concept where they bring the farmers market to you virtually? WTMJ's Jessica Gatzo has the story.
Imagine a delivery service bringing groceries right to your doorstep every week, but not something like Amazon Fresh or Instacart. Picture a delivery of a large reusable bag with contents like lettuce harvested from Wisconsin soil just a few miles from your home, or bread fresh from the oven of a neighboring city. That service is Milwaukee Farmers United, an online farmers market available to the greater Milwaukee area.
Our big picture goal was to unite Milwaukee farmers and make it really accessible for people to purchase produce and items from farms.
Shannon Dunn founded the service to be a middleman between farmers and customers. It started out as a CSA, that's Community Supported Agriculture, a subscription-based service in which a single farm offers a weekly assortment of produce. In this model, customers purchase a share of the farm, and the farm chooses the produce delivered each week. Milwaukee Farmers United now functions a bit differently.
You order what you want when you want. There's no commitment. So you can order every week, or you can order once a month, or you can choose to only order during certain times of the year. The really beautiful benefit is our farmers that we work with harvest the food just a day or two before they bring it to us, and then we deliver it to our customers a day or two after.
The produce selection varies with the Wisconsin growing season, but other items are available all year.
Coffee beans, butter, eggs, mushrooms, granola, kombucha.
The minimum order amount varies depending on where you live, plus a $5 fee for delivery.
We deliver as far north as Grafton, as far south as Burlington, and as west as Oconomowoc Lake Country area.
Or they offer 5 pickup locations in the Milwaukee area. Customer Ann Hanrahan picks up her orders from Cream City Soap Company in Wauwatosa.
Sometimes, you know, when you go to the farmer's market, a lot of the vendors are already sold out or some of their best produce is picked over. So this is kind of a way, once you order, to guarantee that you're getting what you want or kind of plan ahead.
Hanrahan says she enjoys finding unique produce.
I had never tried delicata squash before, or a few years ago they carried this turban squash that my husband and I were able to kind of make into a really cool soup. We also love the variety of mushrooms that they carry.
The online model is also a great time saver for farmers. Gwen and Hill Farm in Waukesha provides seasonal produce from root vegetables to leafy greens. Vegetable production manager Liz Lyon says,
as a farm, we're really busy growing all the vegetables. That's a full-time job in itself. So they just provide that really great support and infrastructure to help get the produce that we're growing to more people.
Dunn says the online farmers market makes local food more accessible.
There are people that work every weekend, or maybe less mobile. Maybe I don't have a car. Maybe I don't have a way of even getting to these markets, or maybe I don't have time.
And what's the next step for increasing access? Lyon says she'd like to see online farmers markets adopt ways to help those with low income.
I know that's something that a lot of farmers markets do in the area, that people can use their EBT, their SNAP cards at a farmers market so that that helps get more produce to people.
This summer, Milwaukee Farmers United is celebrating its 5-year anniversary. For WTMJ News, I'm Jessica Gatzo.
Okay, it's 9:55, and it is going to be a pretty nice day today once we get through these clouds. Sunny this afternoon, breezy and cooler with a high of 78. It's 72 degrees right now at WTMJ. At 9:55, it's time to celebrate an everyday hero, and here's WTMJ's Eric Bilstead.
Every week, Wisconsin's Morning News likes to recognize an everyday hero. The show defines an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Today, we head to Tooele County, Utah, Middle Canyon. Some recent high school graduates had headed to a campsite, enjoying their last few months before going off to college, when they heard screaming coming from another site.
I kind of heard some help. We were kind of like a little skeptical just because people drive through the canyon and are doing all sorts of stuff.
So yeah, something didn't sound right about this though. The screaming continued and this wasn't close, about 250 yards away. So what did these teenagers do? They hopped in their pickup truck and drove to that other campsite. And they found a man who had suffered a seizure and fallen into the campfire.
He was laying on the ground, so obviously he was in distress.
The teenagers telling their story to KSL TV5 in Utah. They immediately got to work.
None of us talked to each other. We just all figured it out.
Really,
everyone just went and
did something.
Yeah, one teenager had started training to be an EMT, so he checked on the victim. Another talked to the woman who was with the guy, and another helped bring that man to the pickup to get him to the hospital. The family of the man say he's okay, he's doing better, and had he been taken to the hospital any later, there would have been a different outcome. The teenager's response.
I think we just did what anyone would have done. No. They were there.
Yeah.
It gives you hope, doesn't it? This group of teenagers, thank you for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
Thanks a lot, Eric. I love his Everyday Heroes. He puts a spotlight on such interesting people. Well, next week, Dayton Kane's going to be here for me because I'm taking that Sunday off. And I'll be back at 11 o'clock this morning with our conversation with Jeff Sherman. You know him from the Upswing. He's such an interesting guy, such a part of the community here in Milwaukee. You're really going to get to know him a little bit better. So you want to listen to that. That's right after the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian and David Wickard right here on WTMJ.